together to welcome Reverend for the word today. Thank you. Come on, we can do better than that. All right, for Reverend, okay, for the word today. Hallelujah.
Okay, can you say to the one next to you, say, stay awake, the Lord is coming. Tell him, stay awake, the Lord is coming, at least for the next half an hour or so. So if it's continue, you know that throughout this whole year, we are actually studying the book of Mark, but on a thematic basis. So all the scripture that we use will be from the Gospel of Mark, but it'll be like being taken out of the theme for the purpose of the lesson that we're going to teach. Okay, so today's lesson will be on Stay Awake, He's Coming. Now, what we have read just now from Mark 13, it's a very simple story, we know. But we also have to understand what is our current situation, the current state of things that are happening around us. So we are living in a world that is full of distraction, right? You agree, all of you? Full of distraction. And there's a lot of uncertainty in this world. This world is a very uncertain world. You may face, for those who are working, you know, you feel a lot of pressure in work, you know, and then you also feel very insecure. You don't know when you're going to get retrenched, whether your company is going to move to another country, or know whether there'll be reorganization and you're being made redundant. You don't know. All this is beyond you, okay? It's uncertainty. You can work very hard. You thought they will keep you, but they will fire you instead, and they will retrench you instead of your colleague, right? You just don't know, right? The other one is where you have aged parents. For some of you, probably in your, you know, 30, 40, you know, your parent getting older and older, older. And one day you realize that your mom cannot recognize you, or tends to forget things, don't know where to put the key, and then lock the door, forget to bring the key out. Then sooner or later realize that, oh, my mom have dementia. How to take care? Wow, tao tian, this one is a really big problem. Now in Singapore, I mean, based on statistically, there are more and more elderly people having dementia, and the age is getting earlier and younger and younger. Can be hit you at the age of mid-30s. Hello? Mid-30s, dementia. Not 60, 80, now you see a lot of them in the 80s, they get dementia, okay? So aged parent can be a burden, can be something very uncertain. Children's future. Now you realize the economy is not good for those that are graduating this year. Congratulations, you have more challenges. So you have to exercise your faith more to trust in God. Because finding a job now, a cushy job with good pay, may not that come that easily, right? So children's future, BTO price going higher and higher and higher, COE price getting higher and higher and higher, everything will be higher. Ah, what is all this? Then for those that who have sicknesses, especially the elderly, you know, health worry is one very real thing because the medical cost is very high. In spite of your MediSafe, you know, all this cost is very high, right? So especially you have those long drawn out kind of sicknesses or illnesses, then you realize that some of the insurance don't cover fully, and then you have to come out a lot of money. And then we're living in a world of turmoil. The Ukraine and Russian war have been going on for 4 years. Pakistan is fighting with Afghanistan, and now you have Israel and the U.S. fighting with Iran, you know. So we are living in this world. Perhaps some of us, you know, while watching all these things and experience that very real in our life, we may kind of quietly have this thought in us, say that, still have any meaning living on earth? Is there any meaning for me to continue to survive at this time? Or probably you ask also, is Jesus really coming back? My grandpa told me that Jesus is coming back. Now I'm grandpa myself. Jesus is still not back yet. When will Jesus coming back? Right? So if he is, does it change anything about how you and I live today? If really he is coming back, does it change anything in your life today? So today, in spite of all this distraction and then not knowing the time, and Jesus, instead of giving them a timeline or timetable of his second coming, instead he gives them a command, an order, help them to shape up their posture and attitude facing what they are facing every day until the Lord's return. It's to be on guard, stay awake, be alert. Okay, the different version basically, be on guard, be alert, stay awake, keep awake. Okay, so what has that to do with Jesus' second coming and not knowing what is the certainty of the actual date that he's coming? The first thing that we have to understand and we need to learn is to embrace the unknown. There are things that in life, there are things in God's plan that is not meant for us to know. Do we have the humility to accept that? That I don't know. I remember when I go and study, probably you all study in university, you ask a lot of questions to the professor. Sometimes the professor will tell you very honestly, oh, that question is a good question, but I don't have the answer. That's honesty. Doesn't mean that he doesn't want to learn, but there's too much knowledge that we can get into our head. So there may be things that that we really don't know. So here it says that, but about the day or hour, no one knows. And this is the second coming of Christ. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Look at this, nor the Son. Isn't Jesus fully God and fully man? If Jesus is fully God, omniscient, omnipotent, you mean there's something that Jesus doesn't know? Yeah, I'll give you an MCQ. Anything that, name one thing that Jesus doesn't know. What's your answer? The coming. The second coming, don't know. But how does Jesus react to that? Oh, how can I not know? I'm the triune Godhead. I must know. He submit to the Father. He said, only the Father know. And to him, it's not really an issue. For to us, maybe we think that it's a big issue if I don't know. Just imagine, okay, if your teacher tell you that we're going to have a test, end of August, how many of you start studying today? Most of you probably will study mid-August, if not 29th of August, or on the National Day of Malaysia, 31st of August, then you study. Wow, and then your mom got so worried, it gives you kui jing la, what la, so that you try to squeeze in within the 12 hours of the 12 weeks of lesson. Hopefully you can still score an A. That's a miracle, right? So it says that no one knows, not even the Son. You realize that the Son and the Father are equal, but yet in terms of this, you realize the Son really submit to the Father. It's okay that if the Father don't tell me everything, I still trust my Father. Okay, let's move on. It says that, so why speculation of the prophetic timeline? It's actually only distract us from obedience. Because once you want to find out why, now you can find out from history, you can just Google, there are over the many hundreds of years in the past, there are these cult leaders who will kind of speculating that Jesus is coming on such a year, such a date, and then they bring their believers and go up to the mountain where and why. No, then they're waiting for Jesus, and Jesus never come. And some of them, what they do, if Jesus don't come to us, then we go to Jesus. So all of them drink something that's been poisoned, then the whole camp of people die. So it is a cult group. So if anyone outside, any Bible, anyone, okay, don't care what position this person is holding, is telling you that Jesus is coming on such a year, such a date, don't believe it. The Bible has put it very clearly. Even Jesus doesn't know. How could you know? Only God the Father knows. So here you realize that this is humility of not knowing. Do you have the humility to accept things that you do not know and yet trusting, have the certainty that God knows? There's a song very famous in the 90s in Christian songs. I don't know what's tomorrow, but I know who holds the future. I don't know whether tomorrow going to rain and shine, I do not know. But I know that who holds the future, and in him I could trust. So what does it mean by the humility of not knowing is that we don't force control. No one, Singapore, especially Singaporean, we work in a very productive way, and everything we have to have, time, deadline, don't you work outside, assignment, time, deadline, everything. So everything must be in control. The things have been done. Even our service must be finished by 1 hour and 15 minutes. If not, somebody will send me a PP, said, oh, it must be finished by a lot of things. So we want to put into a lot, but in this particular issue or this particular matter, we cannot force the control because it's declared to us that God the Father alone knows. So you cannot ply that out from him. Okay? So don't force control. The second is to trust in the Father's sovereignty over time. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you know that there's a time to be gathered, there's time to be scattered, the time to be born, the time to die. The time, what? To plant, and the time to pluck out what is being planted. Right? So there is this time. And in the seasons of life, we experience it one way or another. Here, trusting in the Father's sovereignty over time is something that humbles us. So we have to rely on him because he alone knows. Okay? The second is to heed the command. What did Jesus tell them to do? Oh, they, no one knows the timeline, so the right answer is, I give you the timeline. But the way that Jesus answered is like we call it ta-face or what. It's not really answering the question, but rather he answered it, give them a command, an order, attitude, shape up their posture and say that, be on guard, stay awake while you are trying to look for the dead. Don't look for the dead. During this time, while you're still on earth, just be on guard and stay awake and I will return. Right? So here's, we know that uncertainty is not an excuse for passivity. Uncertainty is an invitation to watchfulness. So when things are uncertain, what will you do? Most of us will slack. Most of us will just chill, right? If the deadline is far away, what will you study now? You will wait until almost there. Then you start doing. So you realize that often the uncertainty, now if your teacher tell you that, oh, you may not have tests, better still. Your teacher tell you, no, may not have tests, then you don't even want willing to prepare. But even with the deadline of exam, you probably will prepare like almost last minute, a lot of us probably, right? So it's invitation to worship. Look at this particular, imagine this guy is a soldier in Iran, Iranian soldier. Just imagine. Trump say that I won't bomb you for 3 weeks. You trust him or not? You don't trust him, but you are on guard duty, you know. You say, since Trump say, 3 weeks later, they will bomb me. I take a break. But hey, is he very certain that bomb, no bomb? Can this soldier be absolutely certain? He will not be able to certain, but you realize that the uncertainty does not make him sleep. In fact, the more uncertainty it is, it makes him even more alert, because anytime this guy can go back on his word and drop some drones to in our land. Right? So the not knowing actually sharpens and not dulls. So this is what I think we have to learn from the wisdom of the Bible. Uncertainty in the world typically will dull us. But here, the uncertainty should sharpen us. It should not dull us. That is because we know that God alone knows, right? The humility of the unknown. So look at the story or the parable. It says something like this. First, the master departs. Before the master departs, what did the master do? The master entrusts authority. Now, you look at the term here. You see Chinese 责任, or work in something. But the root word for this term is actually authority. It means you are given a task, but the task is given to you or the work is given to you also come with authority. So the work, the root word is authority, they translate it as work or responsibility. Okay, he entrusts authority to his servant, each with an assigned task. In other words, no one is left idle. So you and me today, we're still on earth. It means that no one should be idle. We have assigned tasks. Do you know what's assigned task that God has for you? As a student, you have to study. As a parent, take care of your family. No, as a worker in a company, you need to be faithful in your work, right? So there are tasks. Then you serve in a ministry, you be diligent in your serving, be faithful in your serving, right? So this is what the master, before his departure, he assigned and entrust authority and assigned them tasks to do. And after that, he said to them, then he asked the doorkeeper and all them to keep watch. He said, the doorkeeper is specifically told to stay awake through every watch of the night. So it is a sustained faithfulness. It's a sustained watchfulness. It's not that I'm only watchful now and then next hour, no, I'm sleeping. So there are times, probably you experience that in times, right? Like, you know, your study, you know, we call there's a lull period, a very tense period. So we kind of go through that kind of rhythm. But here is that you have to always, in your heart, keep that constant watchfulness, even though nothing may not be happening in the outside. But you continue to keep that watchful spirit in you. The third one is that the sudden return. He will return, but he won't tell you when he's returned, right? So then when the master returns, it can be the evening, midnight, dawn, or when the cock crow. No, he gives no advance notice. He won't say that, okay, take note, church, I'm coming back, SQ321, arrivals, Changi Airport, 5 p.m., Terminal 1. No such notice given. So don't look for time and date for it. But instead, only the ready servant who is waiting, who are faithfully waiting for his return. Those are the blessed one. Those are the faithful servant. Okay? So what are the watches? You know, you read the Bible sometimes. Now the modern translation, okay, they give you the hours. You read the older version. Sometimes they give you watch, the first watch, the second watch. What does a watch mean? From what time to what time? Okay, I just give you some basic information. So there's 12 hours at night. Okay, they start off with sunset. So the sunset is called the evening, which is about from sunset to 9 p.m. So one watch is 3 hours. So four watches will be 12 hours, cover the whole night. Why is it only 12 hours? Because daytime, you don't need to keep watch on. Daytime is daytime. Everybody is working, everybody is awake. So you only keep watch when it's dark. People are sleeping, right? So evening is six to 9. And then from 9 to 12 is called midnight. Not our midnight, like 12 a.m. till what, 1, 2 a.m. Then when the rooster crow at about 12 midnight to 3 a.m. And then from 3 a.m. to about 6, that is the morning, the sunrise. So this is how, okay, this is how the Jewish watched. You know, in the Palestinian land, this is when they talk about watch, they know. Now in the Chinese, you say, Ti keng, ti er keng, same. Right? So this is it. So in other words, you realize that when they talk about whether it's midnight, whether it's evening, whether it's the rooster crow in the morning, you're talking that the whole night. In other words, you're supposed to be awake all night. So there's no exception, in other words. It covers every hour at night. So there's no exception. It's not that there's a time that I can relax, you know, the time that, you know, I can take a break, you know, these 2 hours I can go and sleep. No, the watchfulness is there for the whole night. So faithful in waiting. So what does it mean of faithful in waiting? Faithful in waiting means that you stay awake, you'll be on guard, you are faithful in the entrusted work. Remember, the master gave them assigned tasks. So faithfulness or stay awake, it's not just stay awake, do nothing, but stay awake in doing what is being entrusted to you, the assigned tasks that have been given to you. At the same time, staying awake is always ready to meet your master, because you don't know when your master is coming back. Just like we don't know when Christ is coming back. But you'll be always ready to meet your master. Okay, so God's assigned task actually is your testimony, is your witness, and for that one that we need to be accountable to God. So remember, faithful waiting is not passive waiting, but it's active serving. You can serve in any capacity that you have. God has reassigned us in different positions in our life, your role that God has given you, whether as a mother, as a teacher, you know, as a position in a company, you know, then in a church, in all, you realize that you have assigned tasks. Your responsibility that you need to fulfill. So there are a few things that all of us have to take note, that we have to really keep this at the core of it. The first is that rooted in the word, letting truth shape your mind, because we are living in a very distracting world. There are many voices, many noises, right? So you don't want to get distracted. You must able to what? You must able to differentiate. You must able to discern, right? So how do you discern? You only can discern when you have a reference. So the reference is the word of God. So you know that what is right, what is wrong, what is edifying, what is not, what is building up and what is tearing down, right? The second one is serving in the community with your gift. God has given us a work. So you do the discharge of duty in the community. It can be in a church, it can be in your family, it can be in other setting as well. So that is serving the community with your gift. And the third one is watching in prayer and commune with God. Sometimes you can be so tired, you know, that you lose the strength, and faith and prayer help us to keep our focus. Prayer helps us to commune with God so that we can receive the inner strength to continue to be watchful. All right? So, let's look at the danger of the spiritual state. Now, let's be honest. Hardly you find anyone who will leave the church in a very dramatic way. So one day comes in, I don't want to, Jesus Christ, a fake prophet. I don't believe in God. I don't want to be a Christian. I'm going to leave the church, have nothing to do with Christianity, and then walk out of the church. How many of them leave the church like that? Hardly. But if I ask you, how many of you know that Jesus Christ is coming back and you want to be watchful? I think 100% of the church member will raise up their hand. I want to be watchful. But then you also realize that during that your years have become Christian, and even now, there are times that you are not being watchful. The time that you slumber, the time that you really sleep. Some of you have been sleeping for a while, right? Just like you know that we have to be holy, living a holy life. But how many of you say, how many want to live a holy life? Everybody raise hand. They ask, how many of you have not sinned? Everybody hands drop. Everybody sinned before. But you want to live a holy life, at the same time you find that there's this pull towards sinning. You want to be awake, but there's a pull towards sleepiness. It allows you to sleep. So what are the things? So we have to be very careful. As I said, that no one leaves typically in a dream bag. It's always over time. Okay, what are the things we have to identify, or at least some of these elements that can really dull us and lull us into the lullaby, okay? The first, okay, these are, we are living in a society, so some of these social mechanisms which is happening, that like the big culture, the narrative of the culture narrative in a country that you lived in, and the value that permeate through it, okay? So the first would be entertainment access. All of you have handphone, right? You are YouTube, you have Netflix. After you finish this series, wow, fantastic, man. Then the Netflix update, now the number one series is not this. It's not no longer Squid Game, it's something else. Then you try to follow the one. And then once you follow, you realize that, wow, very nice, you follow. After 10 episodes, I thought finished already. Then they tell you got season two. Need to follow season two so you can close. So you continue endless. So you realize that your entertainment access. Entertainment not just in watching, but entertainment in terms of comfort. Some of you may take a lot, you have to go holiday, all sorts of things. So you know what is that access. This is talking about access. Okay? The next is information explosion. We are living now with AI, it's even exploded in an exponential way, right? Information, there's so much. When you want to look for something, you use a handphone to screen. While you're looking at somebody send you a TikTok or send you an Instagram, you just follow. After that, you just swipe, another thing come up. Oh, maybe I go to Instagram or YouTube to find how to cook beef steak. So I go there with one single intention. But the more I scroll, I also know how to 炒 chicken. Then I say, wow, 这个也不错, 这个姜葱鸡, 我也要学. After that, bake cake, also screen. After that, beauty hack. How to make your skin whiter and smoother. Wow, also want to see. After that, my tummy coming up. This one very good exercise. They say that the problem is that 1 month you can slim down your tummy. Also want to see. Realize you were just endless. Everything. After that, another magic kind of thing. Very cool, this magic, how to play. Watch. Then follow. You realize that there's information explosion, not just on the entertainment side, but there's so much information available. Everything you want to learn is impossible for us to learn. We don't have that lifetime to learn all this, but you must know what all these things actually are. They good, some of them, good information, but it distracts from the main core that we need to learn. The next is work fatigue, or working adults will know. Singapore is a very high stress society because we are caught in a speed trap. Everything has to be fast, everything has to be effective, everything has to be productive. You're doing right the first time and every time. Right? Do it right the first time and every time. There's a quality control mindset. There's a quality mindset. We must do it all the time. So sometimes over time, this thing really hits you. You get fatigued. So you come back, your emotional is totally, worn out. And then when you try to commune with your loved one, and then what happened? Dispute, quarrel, 讲错话, wrong attitude, your problem, right? So you realize that a lot of these things at the end, what does it do to your heart? It distracts you from the real thing, from the main thing, from the most important thing, from the eternal thing, from the most valuable thing. And then you let all the little thing come in and chip on it, and soon your heart gets distracted. And then when you get distracted, you are quietly drift. One day, you swipe, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, and before long you realize you are way from the original place. You have left it. How many of you say that, I want to take drugs? You ask all the drug addicts, or the reconverted drug addicts, okay, ex-drug addicts. Do any one of them say, you ask 10 of them. 10 of them say, I want to take drugs, that's why I become drug addicts. None of them. I can tell you, they know drugs are bad for them. The cigarette packing will tell you ulcer, hair lah, what, lung lah, problem. But anybody hit that? Nobody care. Now, nobody start off say, I want to take drug. But, okay, I just kind of come up with this little illustration. I have a friend, a good friend of mine. He smokes. I don't smoke, he smokes. But we are good friends, so we always get together. Then one day, then you begin to share, he begins to share. That day, you really have a hard day at work, after share. Then this person say, it's like that one. Come, have a puff. Then pass you one. Then to me, I never smoked before. What's problem with one cigarette? I take lah. So, sooner or later, over months. So each time, I don't smoke on my by myself, but each time I see him, we will smoke together. So the chance, from zero, now I begin to gain a little bit of habit of smoking. So this thing continue on, slowly begin, you know, become natural. Each time I see him, I must smoke with him. But after a while, I get to know his friend's friend. His friend's friend don't just smoke, they smoke even greater stuff. Then through all these things, sooner or later, before long, you realize that you are into something that you don't even think or dream of that you will do. Because I never started off that I want to take drug. But now I become a drug addict. Is it like that? I don't mean to leave church. I don't mean to leave God. But with all these things, by the time you realize it, you're drifted, quietly drifted away, that you're so far away that you have left already without you knowing. As I say, all of us want to be watchful and wait for Christ. Everybody will say that. But if you're not being careful with all this, you realize that even with all the good intention that you have, you cannot keep yourself awake. And may God help us, really, right? So that we can identify some of these things and we know how to cut loose some of these things and have self-control and self-discipline over that. Okay, I'll just quit this one. I'm still here. Okay, so the fourth one is the universal call. And Jesus says that what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch or be alert, stay awake. Not just for you, but to everyone. In other words, he's saying to who? He's saying to every believer, every family, every church, every generation. We need to keep watch. We don't know when he will come. So we need to keep watch. So this is a universal call for everyone, not just for the leaders, but for everyone that who follow Jesus. You are to keep awake and watchful. So in summary, what is it? The first thing is that you have to embrace the unknown. Only the Father knows in this case. Only he knows that when he will send his son back. Okay? The second one is that while we are waiting, even though in the unknown, but with that certainty, and Christ gives us an antidote to that. Okay? Instead of getting worried, he said, don't have to get worried. Don't have to go and continue to speculate and guess when I'm coming back. I will come back. But at the meantime, stay awake, be on guard, be alert. Okay, so that is the command that we need to heed. Second, the third one is that while you are awake, what do you do? Not idling, but be faithful to what all the tasks and work that are assigned to you. Finish the work, do the work, right? And the fourth one is that watch together. Watch together means that sometimes alone is very hard to keep awake. Have you been to some school days where you go, you know, like go camping by the beach in Pulau Ubin or some? So, and probably won't sleep, right? But alone, you probably fall asleep. But because your friend chatting lah, you know, barbecue chicken wing for you to eat lah, people talk to you, people talk. So you realize that you can pass through the night without sleeping quite easily. But you are just alone. You find that it's probably very hard for you to keep awake. So sometimes we need one another. That's why we have group of people. We need a buddy. We need some mentors. You know, to give, sometimes give a nudge to the person. Hey, I think you're drifted too far. Hey, long time didn't see you come to the cell group. Hey, what happened to you recently? Somebody gives you a nudge and say, hey, keep watch. Okay? So, in summary, four words. The first is to trust. Trust the Father. I think it is, you see, trusting is something that it should be very natural for all of us, because it is where we started off our Christian life. You trust that, or you believe, or you have faith that Christ died on the cross for you. That's why you become a Christian. So you commit your life to Christ. By what? By trusting Him, by believing Him. So are we not going to believe that only the Father knows, and the Father will send His Son at His own will, at His own time? What should I be worried about? I should not. So the trusting will give me peace. And after that, I'll be watchful. During this time that God has given me on earth, I'm not bringing back home yet. So be watchful. And during the watchful period, I have to be faithful in the work that God has assigned me to do. And then continue to keep hopeful because I know that He's coming. He's coming. Why? If He comes suddenly, do not let Him find you sleeping. Right? This is verse 36. So I have three questions for reflection for all of you. The first one, if it comes tonight, is your life ready to be seen? Is your life ready to be seen? You walk into your room, open up your computer, you know, look into your heart. Is your life ready to be seen? Second, you are not waiting for Him to come, actually. You are deciding what He will see when He comes. What He will see when He comes. And the third one, if I don't know, I really don't know when He's coming. If I don't know, the uncertainty is true, then why are you still take life and time and days for granted? Shouldn't you be like what James say? Oh, I say that I want next year I'm going to go to this city and that city, I'm going to make business and make money. He said, no, you don't say that. If God be willing, I will go to this city next year and do business and make money, da, 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 da. If God be willing. This is what. So it's not a prefix to put on everything that you say, but it's an attitude, knowing that God, we are living under your grace. Our life is in your hand. As I said, you know that for almost every walk, marathon, okay, run, there are people that have joined and then what happened? Cardiac arrest. Recently, Singapore one also have a case, right? Those are not 75 years old people, no? Young people, 30 plus. Strong, trained, well trained for a marathon. Just die. Probably the mom cooking at home thinking, oh, my son go for a marathon. Would you also, you know, cook something nutritious for him to come back for lunch or for dinner? But the son never returned. We just will not know. We take for certain things that we have no control. So shouldn't we committing all this to Jesus? So I'll end this with this prayer. A prayer of repentance, a prayer of gratitude. You can just look at it. Now you think that that is what also resonates in you. I would like you to stand with me and then we will pray this prayer together aloud. In the meantime, I invite the worship team. All right, so if you want to pray this prayer with me now, you can stand. Okay, let's pray together. Lord, we admit that it is not that we don't know, but we don't want to live as if you really will come. We take time as our own and take today for granted. Forgive us for our spiritual dullness and for pretending that tomorrow is still there. Thank you for being faithful even though we are asleep. Today, please wake us up once again. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let's remain standing as we sing this song.
Has known where came from once.
us truly we are living in a very distracting world, a world that is not kind to us, kind to our soul and our spirit. So I pray that God's Spirit will guide us, will warn us, will sound the alarm in our heart if we have stepped in the wrong foot, that we have really have to come before Him, asking Him, say, Father, help us, wake us up when we fall asleep, where our heart has slowly drifted from You. Lord, bring us back by Your love, by our brothers and sisters, by their cares, by their concern, by prayer, by love, that we can bring and be accountable to one another. So Lord, I want to pray for every one of us here, especially our young people. You know, Lord, the burden they're carrying. You know the challenges that they're facing. So I pray for Your Spirit to lead and guide and to protect them, that their heart will always be kept pure for You and You alone. So we thank You, Lord, once again. Even though, Lord, sometimes we may fall asleep, but You are faithful all the time. Sometimes we may, like the disciple, like Peter, James, and John, Lord, we can't even keep awake for an hour, but You pray through the whole night. So pray for us, Lord, and continue to intercede that we will be faithful and we will stay awake until Your return every day of our life. For this our prayer, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.